Deus Ex Go.
Right.
Yeah. And then they got a new mode for the main game. It's like a... It's like VR missions. It's like a single player kind of... Go in, get the data, get out.
Like challenge mode kind of thing?
Yeah, yeah.
Hmm. Okay. I'm more interested in the Go announcement.
Yeah, yeah. It's...
I liked it okay, but the Go games are, like, really interesting to me.
Hmm.
In a way that very few other mobile things are.
I liked that less. I liked, Human Revolution. I thought that was a cool game.
Yeah. No, it was good.
I would play another one of those.
Sure.
I think they're in the middle of the gameplay demo for that thing right now, which,
cool.
which I saw, I guess, a month ago now. Something like that.
Yeah, I'll have to look that up when we get to the office.
I've got a dumb little Deus Ex video of a different thing they were showing that I think they're going to announce today. Probably put up. Just shot something quick on my phone while I was down there.
Looks like the Gwent thing is going around this morning.
Yeah, yeah.
I guess the trademark they filed went around. So I don't think it's been officially announced or anything. But
yeah, no, I think they had something leak. That seems like something they would do.
Yeah. Especially as a not extremely resource-intensive follow-up to The Witcher.
Sure. Oh, yeah, I wonder... Well, I guess the way it was filed, like, the copyright stuff, like, is for software and computer games.
Hmm.
But I wondered, coming out of Witcher 3, like, if they would actually just make a physical Gwent game. So they did do some cards that were... like pre-order bonuses or something like that.
Mm.
Maybe wonder if they would just try to make real Gwent, but they'll probably make a computer game Gwent.
Yeah, I think that the computer thing feels like the more reasonable follow-up. That does feel like something they could do down the road, though. It's like, hey, this was really successful for us, so we're going to make, here's this physical version.
Like I said, I always thought that like Hearthstone would eventually go that route.
It's a lot of cards, and it also, I don't know, there's not a heavy reliance, but there is a reliance on some of the animation stuff to kind of portray what's going on there.
Yeah. Well, yeah.
I'm not saying you can't do it, I'm just saying, right. Like, you know, how you portray your hero using a weapon, for instance, in that game. I'm not really sure how you do that in a card game.
That's, I mean, Magic the Gathering has, like, similar... ideas of, like, you put out your cards that can attack, but I think you physically can attack as well.
Mm.
So I think that stuff is just straight up.
Okay. I was not really a Magic player, so that... I guess...
Oh, weird.
Yeah.
I thought maybe...
Yeah, I mean, there's always that possibility. It's just, again, there's a lot of cards already.
Yeah. You should try Skylanders Battlecast.
Yeah?
Because as far as I can tell, it's basically Hearthstone.
Mm.
With, okay. like, some slightly different stuff where you have a Skylander that's in battle, and then one that's in reserve, and you can swap them at any time.
Yeah.
And then they can do an attack, so you have cards that will pump up one or the other or something like that.
Yeah.
And then you can have attacks that target the backline guy and stuff like that. But it does the thing that Hearthstone does where... Like, in those first handful of turns, like, you get one more energy point every turn. Was that's Hearthstone, right, that does that?
What's that?
Like, you start with 1 point of energy or mana or whatever, and then...
Yes, it goes turn up to two, 10.
You get two, yeah. So it does that. So you should just get way into that.
Reason says, makes the salient point, certain cards just wouldn't work in real life, like the ones that are, like, random discovers...
Oh,
like,
sure.
There's, like, a mage one that's, like, discover 3 random mage spells.
Oh.
Right. So it would have to generate random cards to do that.
Well, yeah, but you could just do that with dice and a table. Like, if you roll these dice and it's a 7, then it's this spell.
That's true. You could do that. That would complicate things.
All I'm saying is that these fucking card games are complicated as fuck anyway.
Yeah.
So,
well, that's why they work as software, because it simplifies it.
And, people, but I think people that have been playing collectible card games are probably used to fucking also potentially maybe having some dice for some shit, just in case.
And that is what is going to keep me from playing physical collectible card games. Yeah.
I'm buying a drink.
Yeah, I'll buy a drink. Could use a biv.
Just leave that, that here. Yeah, I forgot that they were doing all this Deus Ex stuff until they sent over stuff last night. Okay, for the embargo tomorrow morning.
Yeah.
Alright, that's kind of the most interesting thing I saw during any of the judges' stuff, so...
So that's out of the way.
Yeah. Sway plays this at the end of his show every morning.
Does he?
So when you turn on this station and hear this, you know that his show is over. He used to play Jay-Z's What More Can I Say at the end of every single show.
It's an interesting way to go about closing a show.
Yeah.
Hey.
here with this before.
I would play this at the end of every show.
That's not bad.
Oh, man.
I think I would play Who Wears Short Shorts.
Yeah, all right. That'd be a good, like, fun... Like, oh, show's over, but I'm still having a good time.
Yeah.
Wait. Yes.
Damn.
Welcome to a new episode of Hysteria Radio.
On Pitbull's station while we're near it, you know?
That sounds like a good idea.
It's Usher. Usher's on Pitbull.
This is party music?
Yeah. I can't hear Usher without thinking of Dance Central, and it doesn't matter the song anymore.
It doesn't even matter that Dance Central isn't even really a thing anymore.
Yeah, no. Like, Usher has become fucking forever linked.
Yeah, I can think of worse things to be linked to.
Yeah, I mean, it's not
both
like...
Both for Dance Central and for Usher.
Sure, sure. Yes, it's not like it's Nazi gold.
Yeah.
Like, Usher linked to Nazi gold. That'd be terrible. You're like, oh, man.
Well, unless he was giving the Nazi
well,
gold.
Well, yeah, yeah.
So he was like, hey, I found all this Nazi gold.
And let's give it back to... Yeah. I don't know where it belongs, but...
But let's just give it to not Nazis. How about that?
Yeah. Is there like an organization called Not Nazis that we can just give this to?
I'm sure there's something that does something similar.
But no, Usher, I think it's a little more complicated than that. Like, I want more. Like, wait, no. And then he says, Happy Easter, Xbox, and then gold falls from the ceiling. Maybe they can do that thing like they do with people who have warrants, where Usher says, I'm holding a concert and only Nazis can come. And then they get all the Nazis there, seeing Usher, like, generally enjoying the man's dance moves. And then he says, here comes the gold, and then they just drop a bunch of actual physical heavy gold from the ceiling and crush the Nazis. So like an ironic
mousetrap situation.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, it's not the worst plan I've ever heard. The issue I would raise... is that it might not... Nazis might not want to go see Usher.
I don't understand what you're saying.
I'm saying that the general ethos of the Nazi and the neo-Nazi parties...
Party. Usher knows party.
Well, yeah, no, it's not that. It's that... I feel like that is not the kind of music, the kind of artist that they would gravitate toward. That's just... Like, I'm not saying Usher can't be involved in the planning. I'm saying that, like, to entice them, maybe... something a little more neo-Nazi-centric. Something that's a little more in the wheelhouse of that group. Like the Greg Kinn band.
Yeah, okay, alright, yeah. Nazis love Greg Kinn.
It's true.
I see what you're saying now.
Yeah.
The nice thing about having satellite radio is that you get to hear bits and pieces of this song a lot. Sometimes you turn it on and it's Jadakiss. Rapping from his part in this song.
But forever this beat is playing somewhere on satellite radio.
Basically. And then there's this alternative and grunge station that, like, just sissing corn. And you're like,
There was a time when the designation for corn was alt-metal.
Yeah, no, I know, but, like, when you think about the rest of, like, the era of music that is typically played on this station as a grunge station...
Yeah, it kind of runs up to about 96, probably,
yeah.
Normally.
Like, it feels like it's definitely on the other side of corn.
Yeah, that's fair.
I'm not saying corn doesn't have a place on satellite radio. The thing, you know what I was thinking the other day?
What's that?
This is dumb, but this is how I spent my time. I was thinking, you know what? There's no station on the dial here that would play the Insane Clown Posse.
Juggalo radio is not something that exists on here.
Yeah, there's no... Like, I'm trying to think of, like, you know, just artists and types of music that are not represented.
Yeah.
And, you know, there's not a lot of, there's not a lot of room for the Wicked shit.
And you think about other bands that have, like, those very specific followings. Like, you know, a Fish band with their
oh,
following.
Yeah, sure.
Jam Fish, band yes. stuff is totally represented on
yeah,
here.
There is a jam band station. I think there, well, no, not currently, but there's not currently a Fish-only station, but there is a Grateful Dead station.
Yeah.
Jimmy Buffett.
A lot of that stuff gets kind of roped in there. But the niche for the Juggalos and those who are running with the hatchet is very specific, and I wonder if
it's just demographically unfriendly, if it's just a, you know, segment of people who own satellite radios. But at some point, if they want to grow, don't they want to cater to people they aren't currently catering to?
Yeah, I think that is true. I just don't think the psychopathic set is really hot to subscribe to things like that. I mean, I'm sure they've done the market research. They have to.
They must, yeah. I'm sure they went down every road to a certain degree and said, this is not for us.
Yeah.
We hear you, but, you know, 3 hours of Isham screaming every night is not what we want to have in a radio station. Actually, if they just gave ICP a radio station, I would probably listen to that.
I mean, I feel like that's where they've got to end up.
That would be a terrible train wreck that I would love to, like, listen, check in on a semi-regular basis. It's like, oh, what are these fuckers doing? Oh, God.
Yeah, but that would probably last for about, like, 6 months, and then it would just be all the people who are, like, you know, sort of satellites around the ICP that would take over the station.
Uh-huh.
Get Kevin Gill out there, put him on our
yes,
radio, give
yeah.
him a show.
Get KG up on there. Did you see that the infomercial for this year's gathering has been...
No.
Yeah.
I did not know that it gotten out there yet.
It's
the
terrible.
Last two have kind of disappointed
yeah,
me.
Yeah, this one is pretty disappointing as well. I mean,
okay.
there are definitely funny things about it where you're just like, oh, man, I can't believe this thing is still happening. But, the more alarming part of it is that, like, the way it's presented is very cultish.
Mm.
They seem like a popular YouTube channel. And that they are trying to establish hand signs and certain verbiage as, you know, which they've always done. I mean, that's not exclusive to YouTube people, but when you put that video up on YouTube and talk about, and the best part about it is that it's the biggest family reunion of all time. Get together with your fellow juggalo. You know, it's just like, this is the people who truly understand you. You fucking outcasts.
I honestly wonder if the tape, maybe there's no correlation, but I wonder if the tapering off of quality in those things has as much to do with the fact that they are surprised they are still allowed to do these things. Like, they didn't think it would ever
sure.
go this long, and they're just kind of running out of ideas.
Like, at one point in this one, it's like, it's the 17th gathering of the Juggalos. You know the meaning of the number 17. It's sacred in Juggalo culture, which I think is just something dumb they said.
Yeah.
But it was a 3-day festival supposed to happen Friday, Saturday. It was real... Sunday got rain. You know, the one infomercial from the year when everyone watched it and was fucking clowning on their dumb fucking thing, they
yeah.
took that one down.
Really?
They took that one down. It's too good. I mean, it's out there, you know, it's on Daily Motion.
Yeah,
now, but
they took it off their YouTube.
Yeah.
Weird. I guess it just wasn't up to their standards anymore.
I think it was just like, it was a, you know, too many people were seeing it and, like, laughing at them. And they were just like, oh, man, just take it down. We sold out tickets. Just take it down, man. people fucking laughing about our hayrides.
Pretty...
We think the hayrides are sick. But fuck these people.
I would think that at this point, like, that shit can't really bother them that much anymore. Like, people have been laughing at the Insane Clown Posse since the Insane Clown Posse was a thing.
Maybe it's just straight up a marketing move of, like, if this thing is up, then people are posting about it in a negative way and making fun of the people who would pay to come to this show. We don't want them to question their continued investment in Juggalo Industries.
Sure.
So we need to button this up. Or maybe it just had some copyrighted shit in it and got taken down. Like, who knows?
That's also possible. Like,
but that is still my favorite one. I don't think they have lived up to that moment.
The one after that was pretty solid, but then, yeah, it's all kind of been downhill from there.
I looked it up. $180 to go to the Gathering of the Juggalos.
For the whole 3 days?
Yeah. Four days.
4 days, man.
It's more money for, like, car passes and RV passes and stuff like that, if you want to bring an RV.
I bet for what they actually have to spend to make that thing happen,
yeah,
they make money hand over fucking fist
on
that.
I bet. Their $400 fucking, like, VIP access. Okay, so I think it was $400. But, like, whatever the highest tier of access you could buy was all sold out.
Yeah.
And that was something that didn't even come with a ticket to the Gathering. You had to buy that separately on top of it. And that was like, you get to stand on stage off to the side of the stage when the first act starts. And some other dumb shit that... You know, they have you should get into their collectible card game. Into the Echo Side.
So I remember when that got around, I was actually considering buying that just to see what the hell that thing was.
Uh-huh. I think it is launching officially at the Gathering.
Okay, I don't think I pulled the trigger on that. I don't think I will either.
What? Why not? What?
I don't know.
As far as I can tell, they have a new supergroup that's all of them, but they're all wearing blackface.
Oh, that's not good.
But just, like, to the edge of their side of their face, and then, like, not all over, not in a, like...
But still.
At least that was the, I mean, well, watching the video, that's what it seemed like to me. It was like a psychopathic Rida's-esque supergroup thing, but something different that was darker, and it was, like, more evil.
It might have
just been Dark Lotus now that I think about it.
None of that seems recommendable.
Yeah, no. But hey, I bet Vampiro will be there.
I don't know, man. He's got a lot going on these days. That's actually true now.
I guess. But
I guess it depends on whether Lucha tapings are done by that point or not.
Strong thunderstorms to the eastern Corn Belt and to the northeast. This is on Saturday and Sunday.
Ah, rural radio.
Yeah. Get some crop reports.
Some strong storms once again into the upper plains, but hot and dry will be the theme to the West Coast. Spotlight on rural America today. It's in Missouri, Rolla, Missouri. Sunny and warm, 82 degrees there, normal temperature. And you're going to see Rolla escalate with the temperatures that are moving from the west to the east, 92 degrees by Friday. And that's what we're going to see.
Missouri.
Here for today's highs to the northeast. But by tomorrow, we're going to start marching these very warm mid-90s into the upper and central plains. By Friday, mid to upper 90s into the south. And by Saturday, we could hit the 100-degree range from Tennessee to Nebraska. Very warm temperatures as we head into the weekend. Stay with us next. We're headed with Marlon Suderman. He's going to join Marlon Bowling. It's the Grain and Livestock Update. The only place you'll get that right here. Stay with us. It's the Market Day Report. Continues next.
It's been 35.
We can see you in Daly City, Santa Clara, or San Ramon. Just go to Scott Hybert.
I guess there's
some watchdog stuff being shown right now. I'm seeing talk of drone races.
I guess the trailer, like,
Yeah, it showed up on
Twitch or something?
Yeah, it showed up on Twitch as an ad last night.
Tickets at 8:45.
And I'm guessing what was a AM PM mix up.
Oh, sure.
Like, as in it was supposed to launch today. But yeah, boy, this has just been nonstop with that shit.
Yeah. They sent fucking Fobwash to DMCA notice.
For what?
For posting that Watch Dogs 2 trailer to Twitter. Right?
Yeah, well.
Fucking dumbasses, like. And guess what? People care enough about your game to fucking share stuff about it. You better shut that shit down.
You are sharing this 12 hours before you are supposed to share it.
Carefully fucking...
Please like and subscribe. Also, please do not like and subscribe.
Marketing plan. You are robbing us of the analytics of how many people watched our trailer. We are not... We wanted to have the most likes on YouTube, and now we're not gonna because fucking Twitch fucked us, and then you fucking went and posted it. What the fuck? They announced Injustice this morning also.
Ah. I wonder if at some point someone was just like, Ed, you have to... Fine, you know what? We're just going to announce the fucking game, all right? Because...
The release is done. We had a legal look at it. It's fine. Like, the trailer is cleared. We're just going to go with this. This was probably the plan.
Oh, I'm sure it was.
To put it out today, but...
I just like the idea of Ed Boon exasperating everyone that he works with.
Come on!
No, it's fun! We're having fun over here!
Ed, no. What am I gonna say? He's Ed Boon. No, it's just, yeah, okay, alright, yeah, no, let's keep going. It's, they've got something, like, it seems their hook this time is, like, loot boxes.
Oh! Oh! Well then!
And it's not just cosmetics.
Oh!
It's, like, stuff that'll modify the character. So their whole thing is, like, fucking your Aquaman's not gonna be like other dude's Aquaman.
So it's sort of, like, extending out the fighting style stuff of MKX, but with loot boxes.
Yes, I don't know.
Modifiers. I
mean, you know, yeah, or like, you know, some light creative fighter type stuff or something. You know, which seems like it'd be really hard to balance, but probably not impossible to balance. It seems like it's from the mobile game, where you could equip loot and all that other, you know, you would get cards to equip on your fighters and all that shit. Like, maybe it's just... They liked that idea, and more importantly, really liked the amount of money it brought in, and said, let's bring that to the fucking real game. Like, what are we doing?
You know, Injustice is probably the franchise I would be okay with them experimenting with that in. Before they tried to apply it to, say, a Mortal Kombat.
Well, they were selling fucking easy fatality tokens for that last Mortal Kombat.
Yeah, you know, I found that stuff kind of inoffensive because the fatalities in that game were largely very easy to pull off anyway.
Yeah. I don't know. For me, it was just like, it was a very... Like, the legacy of Mortal Kombat and the legacy of fatalities as, like, a thing that is secret knowledge to be acquired to then say, how about you just buy it? I thought really... kind of shit on that legacy. Like, to the extent that legacy matters anymore in a world where fucking strategy guides and all of the stuff have ruined...
Well, on the internet,
like, that
especially.
Secrecy. Yeah. You know, like whatever, but... I guess what I'm saying is it's still real to me, damn it.
Fair. I actually booted up MKX not too long ago. Because I realized I hadn't really played with any of the downloadable characters at all.
Mm.
Yeah. Alright, shows. Not very much fun to play.
Yeah, I'm not a fan.
I did kind of like Tremor, though.
Mm.
I had some fun with that one.
I thought Triborg was kind of fun.
Yeah, Triborg was alright. Most of the horror characters I could kind of give or take, but there's some neat stuff you could do with the Xenomorph.
Mm.
That said, I didn't really...
Yeah, I just, you know, I don't come to, like, I care enough about the characters of the Mortal Kombat universe to where the presence of, like, all these horror characters, I think, detracts from it.
Yeah, I mean, I don't mind it as DLC. I think if they started including that as part of the main game, that would be weird, but,
Yeah, they had Kratos in that fucking last one.
And they did all that. Yeah, I don't know. I'm not bothered by it, but I agree with you. I would rather they just stuck to MK Universe characters.
Yeah. Or Street Fighter characters. Yes.
Sure. That's the thing they do when Capcom is really out of money, right? At some point, they go to them and are like, look, we gotta do... We need... This is the thing everyone's been wanting all this time. This is the WWF versus WCW thing that everyone's been... We gotta do this, right?
I think,
then WB's like, eh.
I think that the way Capcom is built, like, that's a different argument depending on where you live, and that's why Street Fighter Cross Tekken happened.
Right.
Is because when it came time for them to go, I don't know, fuck, why don't we do a crossover with the biggest other fighting game that we can think of, and then they sat down in Japan and went, Tekken? Like, no, you fucking idiots! God!
Which, look, I love Tekken.
Yeah.
Tekken's great.
But that's not the thing.
And I also still would totally play that Tekken Cross Street Fighter game if that ever happened, which it won't. I get it. That said...
It's just on hold. They're still definitely making it.
No, let's just...
It's on hold. Look.
The point is, Street Fighter Cross Mortal Kombat, that is the thing that, at least in North America, and I'll just say Europe too, that's a thing people would want.
Yeah.
Still.
I want Tekken versus Virtua Fighter.
Yes.
Like, that is an even match.
Yeah, they're never going to make another Virtua Fighter.
Yeah, they put those VF characters into Dead or Alive, and it was just a bummer. It was like, man, this is really fun. And they're never going to make another one of these, are they?
Nope.
Shit.
Assume thinks that anyone who still thinks SF versus MK is a good idea is talking crazy. Look, I'm not saying it would be a good game. It might be awful. It might be just unbearably awful. But I don't care. I still want to see it. I want to see what would happen.
Yep.
How they would try to apply that formula. Virtua Fighter X Mortal Kombat. Sure! Fuck it.
I think that only works in the weird fucking PS2 Xbox era of Mortal Kombat.
Right.
Think about character abilities and movement and stuff like that. Like, Mortal Kombat takes place on a 2D plane. So does Street Fighter.
Yeah. And, you know, you do the Injustice thing where there's crazy specials and you know, like Street Fighter, the current special system,
yeah.
And you don't make it so they can cut each other's heads off, probably.
Or you do, because fuck it. Because fuck it.
Yeah, I guess it just sort of depends on what level of desperation Capcom's going into that thing with.
Right.
Well, do we really want to see, you know, like, fucking Ken get sliced in half?
Like, yeah, we kind of do.
All right.
Think about it this way. Think about it. We want to see Ken burn people to a crisp with his fists.
With a dragon punch,
a dragon punch, and then fucking it just turns into a fucking pile of fucking skeleton
Hadoukens
ash.
That melt your skin off.
Yeah.
I bet Bisons would be pretty fucking nasty. Just doing that fucking air stomp straight into your skull and just drive your skull down through your body.
Or have him just throw his hands in the air and an arcade cabinet falls out of the sky and crushes somebody. I think that would be good too.
Yeah. Yeah.
I feel like that's, if they were to, when they sit down to make another Mortal Kombat, I would appreciate it if there was a new class of finishing move that was like, either just like, old school, or just fucking, hey, dumb shit, where it's just like, goofy ass fucking fatalities that tap into the goofier ones from 2 and 3, and
totally.
All that sort of stuff.
Like, there are a lot of things about 3 I don't like. There's some very cheap things about the fatalities in that game where it's like, hey, you cut that dude in half, but his hands are still hovering in the air. That kind of bullshit.
That's the best.
But if you lean into that in a modern game where it's like, yeah, I just cut that dude in half, but his hands are hovering. What the fuck?
Yeah.
Like, the broken fatality.
Yeah, exactly. Like, if there was just, like, a Baraka finisher that was turn him into a baby, chop up the baby, crash the game.
Yep. That would be fun.
Like, a fake game crash, I think would be really, really cool.
Let's bring back friendships. I will beat that drum until the day I die. Bring back friendships.
Yeah. I think that, like, they almost need that as an offset of just, like, how brutal the game has gotten.
It really has.
Like, because it's brutal in a way that, like, is still kind of comedic.
Yes, like, it's so over the top that you kind of, like, it's the way you watch, like a 90s horror movie, where it's like, oh, cool, like, so the violence technology has gotten really over the top.
Right.
And this is still super goofy.
Yeah. And then, I mean, it's not to say that, like, there was nothing fucking, like, directly dumb in the last one. Like, there was a... Triborg has a move where he throws his head. And I think it's a brutality. So if you finish a fight with that, the head hits the opponent's head, knocks it off, and then Triborg's head lands on the spot. And then he goes into a victory pose from the other guy's body.
And that's good. Like, that's the kind of shit I want to see more of.
Stupid. I like that a lot.
Yeah, I'm totally with you on that. I never really got a good feel for the brutality system. Like, I just couldn't... I understood kind of what you were supposed to do, but, like, I just never really got into that. Like, I would always instinctively just go for the fatality.
Mm-hmm. Well, the stuff that, like, you know... It was cool, because sometimes... it was easier with some characters than others, because sometimes it would just be like, if you use this move that you're using all the time anyway to finish a fight, it'll murder him. But yeah, some of them were more elaborate.
Jeffrey's die says they made brutalities easier to pull off when Combat Pack 2 came out.
Oh, like across the board?
They might have just, they might have simplified some of them. Mm-hmm. Did the FGC kind of take to Mortal Kombat X? I mean, I know it was at EVO last year, and it seemed like there was a decent crowd for it.
Like, the NetherRealm games always attract the NetherRealm games crowd, and that's about it. So, you know, there's enough to have a scene and all that other stuff, but...
It's good, because I think that game is good. Like, I don't think it impressed me as much as 9 did, but, like, I think... Just taken straight as a fighting game and sort of, you know, eliminating some of the other bullshit they built around it, like, I think that game's solid.
Yeah. The thing is, I don't especially like playing modern Mortal Kombat games at the...
professional level.
At the higher levels that they have built, like, the way they have built the combo system is less interesting to me than it was in the early games.
Sure. At the same time, like, current MK is one of the only fighting games I feel like I can kind of play online and generally do all right at.
Mm.
Like, not great, but enough to where I'm not losing every single time. Tried real hard to get into Street Fighter V. I haven't been able to do it.
Yeah.
It's not that I think it's not fun or anything. I don't know. Like, just something about it is just not clicking with me at all.
I sat down for a decent chunk of time at launch, a little bit before launch, and said, like, I'm going to try to take this seriously and try to stick with it. But, yeah, I fell out of it at some point. It's just like, I'm... between just all the... all the bad shit around that game and just other stuff coming out.
It's and again, it's like we talked about on the podcast today. Like, there's a good fighting game in there.
Yep. Yeah.
And I even like some of the new characters.
I think it's better than 4. I think the stuff that they've built, I like the stuff they built for this game better than I like the focus attack stuff.
Yeah. I think 4 got really good. Like, I think by the end of that game's lifespan, it had turned into something pretty special.
I liked it more initially, and then as they added more and more characters and kind of intensified the number of matchups you needed to learn to try to fucking be okay at it.
Yeah.
Like, that's when I was just like, it's just too much. At some point, it's just, I don't want to fucking... And I thought they started adding really lame characters to it, also.
They weren't all winners, that's for sure. Roster for right. That.
Yeah.
And, you know, Capcom is committed to, better for better or worse, SF5 for at least the next probably couple of years, I'm guessing.
Sure.
Yeah. Or at least they think they are.
I mean, you know, it'll continue to do, like, some level of fine within, like, the community, you know, the tournament scene, all that sort of stuff.
I'm
guessing, like... You know, between Capcom having the Pro Tour and just the seemingly what the nature of the tournament scene does,
yeah.
Like, they don't like to go backwards.
Like, yeah,
there was certainly a time when, like, people were definitely, like, playing Super Turbo and 4 for player bases and
yeah. I've gotten very into watching Evo Finals the last couple of years. Even as someone who doesn't really understand a lot of the strategies being employed, like, it's just fun to watch.
Yeah, I mean, you know, like, that's the thing that fighting games will always have over most MOBAs and stuff like that, is it is incredibly easy to read that this life bar says this, this one says this, these people are punching each other.
And they just really know how to do that well.
Yeah. Like, you might not get all the nuance of fucking that stuff, but you kind of don't need it to still have a good time watching.
Yeah.
That said, yeah, I haven't watched any of that stuff in years.
Last year was pretty good.
With any kind of, like, real interest or anything. Like,
yeah.
It's like, oh, let's watch a little bit of this. Okay, cool. All right, whatever.
Make a new Def Jam fighting game.
Yeah. It's what Kudo's secretly doing. He's back.
That's
on.
King of that's Killer Instinct season 4.
Yeah. Killer Instinct season 4 is just Def Jam Icon 2. That'd be fucking great.
Just put E40 in Killer Instinct.
Yes.
Why not? Why not?
Yes. I'd say that we could try to make that happen, but I don't think that the head of the studio developing Killer Instinct is an E40 fan.
Yeah?
Yeah. It's the problem. You get a little bit outside of the bay, and you get a lot of people that don't understand E40.
It's a shame, you know? Like, I understand why people don't like current E40.
Sure.
Like, recent E40, I get that. But there's a body of work there.
Yep. But you have to be willing to go on a ride to enjoy any E40 at all.
Yes, that's true.
Because...
Hey, the first time I heard E40, I found him repellent.
Yeah.
Totally.
Certainly an acquired taste.
I think it was actually Ben Stahl's intense love of E40 that convinced me to give him another shot.
Mm. Yeah, probably same with me, actually.
Yeah. I guess 840 is at a lot of Warriors games now. That's kind of his thing.
Yep. He opened a t-shirt store and is selling Sick-Witted Records logos in Warriors colors. And then another t-shirt that simply said, Warriors Maine on it.
Good. Good.
But then there was also a hat that had the Slurricane logo on it, because he is also selling wine. And there's now literally an E40-40.
Good. Yes.
And I have one in my fridge that I have not had yet.
You should never drink it. You should just keep it pristine.
You're probably right.
Mint condition.
Yes, the Earl Stevens collection of wines. And then there's also Slurricane. I have a bottle of Slurricane and drank all of it to see how that would go.
Casper cites this New York Times headline. Warriors, Tech's team, are soaring out of reach. Warriors belong to Tech, man. The tech industry.
What? No, no.
Tech owns the Warriors.
No.
Nah. They are Silicon Valley's team.
No. I mean, no. Like, I'm sure that there are plenty of people that fucking work in this area that think that, like, yeah, man, the Warriors. Like, no. No. That ain't the Warriors. The Warriors are from Oakland. Actually, it's fucked up. It's fucked up. Because, like, last year when the Warriors were in the playoffs and the finals, whatever the fuck they are, the TV broadcasts would come on and they would just show fucking the Golden Gate Bridge, like all this fucking other bullshit. There's like, no, like they play in Oakland. Like, it's not even like it's not like there's another basketball team around here. For it's not like the A's Giants thing.
Yeah, it's not like LA.
So you really do have, if you care about basketball and you're in the area, the Warriors really is the only team. But
I mean, they are moving to San Francisco eventually.
Is that final? And
it sounds like the last I heard was it was happening, but they just have to build the damn arena first.
Yeah, I don't know. That'll be sad. But I mean, I think the A's will move at some point too, right? I mean,
and the Raiders are still talking about it. Yeah. Like, they were one of the teams that was gonna move.
Right,
to LA.
The Raiders talk about it, like, either go to LA or like fucking Las Vegas or something, right?
Yeah. So the LA thing is done. Doesn't sound like that's gonna happen.
Not for them, but like, are the Rams?
So the Rams moved.
Yeah.
That's done. There's talk also that San Diego might still move up to LA at some point.
Sure.
But that is...
Why not go from zero teams to two?
Yeah.
That seems like a fucking terrible idea.
Yep. It may never happen. You know, like, San Diego's still, I think, trying to get a new arena for them. If that happens, that'll probably keep them there. And San Diego's obviously a big enough market to support it. And honestly, I thought St. Louis was too, but I think that the people who run that team are just kind of like, we want more money.
Yeah.
Not this Midwest money.
Right. But, I mean, isn't that the fucking problem? Isn't that why the fucking Rams and Raiders left L.A. last time? It's because no one fucking cares. Like, no one goes to the games. Like, it was not a money-making operation after a while.
I don't remember the whole thing. I mean, that was the basics of it. Like, they weren't making the money they wanted to be making in L.A. And the city itself was not particularly supportive, I think.
Yeah, it seemed like it was just, like, a very fickle fan base that was just like, whatever, it's L.A. We fucking have a billion other things to fucking do. We don't fucking care.
Yeah, I've always considered L.A. very much a basketball and baseball town. But, I don't know. It sounds like there was demand for this to happen. I do think that one team is probably all they need for the foreseeable future to see how this goes.
Right, yeah.
Also, St. Louis being in a Western division never really made a lot of sense anyway, so I guess moving them to L.A. kind of fixes that problem.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I don't know. It was weird. The whole thing was weird. And I think that if the Raiders do end up moving, it would be to Vegas. But there's still a lot of things to work out around the idea of having a major professional sports team in Vegas.
Yeah, that's... Yes.
But yeah, it does feel like teams are kind of like looking for ways to get the fuck out of Oakland right now.
Well, the Coliseum is not a nice place.
Yeah. And the place where the A's play is also kind of old, right?
Yeah, they're attached.
They're
both
the same thing, yeah.
It's just there's the out whatever the fuck they call it. Tom fucking Arena Coliseum, whatever. And, like, now the Niners play fucking in Santa Clara or whatever, I guess.
Yep.
Was that this last season they played there? Or was
it was the last season was the first season they played officially in Santa Clara.
Yeah. Teams should be forced to change their fucking names. They shouldn't be allowed to keep the names of nearby big cities for marketing purposes. I feel somewhat strongly about that.
I generally agree with you, but I think a lot of teams will not do that because the city identity is so much a part of the brand. Like, for the same reason, like, the New York Giants and New York Jets will never call themselves the New Jersey Those, because they're in New Jersey.
Then they shouldn't have, they shouldn't play in New Jersey.
Yeah, but they've played in New Jersey forever.
Yeah.
And there's no signs of them ever moving those teams out of New Jersey.
Like, the Niners should not be allowed to call themselves, it should be like, hey, well, if you want your team to fucking bear the name of our fucking big, recognizable global city, you need to fucking stay here. Fuck you.
Yeah.
Like, if I were the city, I'd be like, no, you don't get to fucking represent our brand. Fuck off. Go become the fucking gold country, gold county, fucking
Silicon Valley.
Silicon Valley Niners.
Yeah. Yeah, team branding stuff is arcane and weird in a way that I will never completely understand. I just know that they always want to represent the biggest region that they are close to.
Yeah.
And yeah, I don't know. I still don't understand this shit because sometimes you still end up things like the New Orleans Pelicans, and you're like, what the fuck?
Yeah.
How is that a thing? Not the New Orleans Hornets made a lot of fucking sense either, sure. But like, who in God's name wants to wear a Pelicans jersey? I still can't believe they moved a team back to... Yeah, the Winnipeg Jets are back.
Wow.
A few years ago.
When are the Whalers?
Never.
Come on.
That one will never come back. Hartford is not a big enough market to support any kind of team.
Which is why it's probably perfect for hockey.
Yeah. You're not wrong.
Is it a new expansion, or did a team move to
Winnipeg? No, it was the Atlanta Thrashers.
The what?
The Atlanta Thrashers.
I'm sorry, what is that?
That was a team that existed for a long while.
In the National Hockey League.
In the National Hockey
League. NH motherfucking L.
Yes.
Atlanta called the Atlanta Thrashers.
That's correct.
Are you lying to me?
I'm not. I am 90% sure that is the team they moved up there. Because the Atlanta Thrashers no longer exist, and I'm pretty sure that's the one they replaced them with.
The Atlanta Thrashers sound like an XFL team.
You're right.
Or an arena hockey team, or like arena football team.
Totally.
Or perhaps one of those fucking American soccer teams.
Yeah.
That all have shit fucking names that you occasionally hear and go, wait, what? There's a what?
Yeah.
LA Galaxy? No, what was...
So there's in general, I would say that the South has not always been the kindest market to the NHL. That said, teams like the Florida Panthers, the Tampa Bay Lightning, and such did a lot better than the Atlanta Thrashers. Atlanta was never a good market for the NHL.
Yeah, that bumper on that truck is all fucked up. Those people got in a car accident.
It did happen.
Did the Kings move somewhere to L.A.?
No, they're still in the
same... No, I mean before they came to L.A., somewhere else?
I think the Kings were always L.A. All
right.
Or at least as long as I've been watching hockey, they've been L.A.
I think for as long as I've been watching hockey, as long as I've been aware of hockey, I should say, it was always the L.A. Kings. But
Turn of the Rat says Atlanta isn't a great sports market in general, and it kind of surprises me, because I felt like the Braves and the Falcons generally did very well there.
Mm.
And the Hawks have been good the last couple of years, so I thought there was more interest in them.
Well, maybe it's the thing where, I mean, the Braves probably did a lot better when baseball on television was slightly harder to come by, so the idea of TBS airing the Braves constantly was, like, novel, and... It's why they referred to the Braves as America's team for a while. Because everyone got TBS.
Yeah. Hey, it's Dale also mentions that the Phoenix Coyotes,
what?
Who are the team that used to be the original Winnipeg Jets, are still around and still the Phoenix Coyotes.
Mm.
Also, Wayne Gretzky was a principal owner of the Coyotes for a while. Okay. I think still might be. All
right. There was some weird, I forget why I was looking it up and shit, but there was something, I was looking up basketball teams.
Sorry, they're the Arizona Coyotes now. Great.
And there was some case, maybe it was with the New Orleans team.
Mm.
Or Utah. Or
New Orleans basketball?
Yeah. Where, like, at some point, a team transferred its legacy to another team that was taking the name of an old team. And like, so the team had moved out of the city and had this whole legacy of stuff.
Yes.
And then at some point, someone started a new expansion team that bore the city and name. And they said, like, okay, well, you can have the whole legacy of...
I think the thing you're talking about is the Charlotte-New Orleans thing.
Yes.
Yeah. So, yeah, it was the Charlotte Hornets. The Hornets moved to New Orleans. Charlotte started up a new team, which was originally the Charlotte Bobcats.
Mm-hmm.
And then at some point, that happened, that thing you just described happened, where they became the Charlotte Hornets again, and New Orleans became the Pelicans.
Right. And then they inherited this legacy of this team that they were not actually... related to originally.
Yes.
Yeah.
They are a new franchise that exists in an old in a city where that old franchise existed previously. That was kind of what happened with the Cleveland Browns also.
Mm.
Back in the late 90s. The Browns moved to Baltimore, I think. And then they wanted to get a team back in Cleveland, so they started a new Cleveland Browns.
So the Browns became the Ravens?
I believe so. I might be getting that mixed up, but I'm pretty sure that's where they... Because originally Baltimore had the Colts, they moved to Indianapolis, and then at some point in the 90s, the Ravens were founded, and I think that was the Browns. Yeah, it was Baltimore.
Hmm. What a fucking mess.
Yeah.
Featuring the Black Album, Crystal Ball, One Night, and Alone...
Are you excited at all for the World Cup of Hockey?
The what now?
They're doing a World Cup for hockey. Like World Cup soccer, I think.
You know...
I only saw that it is playable in this year's...
Interesting.
EA Sports NHL 17.
Yeah, because international hockey can be really good. If you're into that kind of, like, national stuff. Like, the NHL is made of players from all over the fucking place.
Right.
So, yeah. Sure. Totally. I'll watch that.
Seems like a good opportunity to sell a lot of jerseys.
Totally.
If I was still in my fucking... wear the most dumbest, obscurest jersey I could find phase. World Cup hockey jerseys sound like they'd be pretty good.
Well, we'll just have to wait and see.
Yeah. The fuck was the name? What about the World Baseball Classic? When's that coming back?
You'll never get that opportunity again.
And then when that gets
is that a thing?
Yeah, that's why I have that fucking China jersey.
Oh, that's right.
From fucking Chinese baseball.
I remember that.
Should have got a Chinese Taipei.
I remember how excited you and Chris were to be watching international ass baseball.
It was the fucking best. Dumbest. And all the games were on at terrible times because, like, fucking no one wants to watch fucking professional baseball on television anymore. Let alone this shit.
Yep.
And in other news...
I have tried numerous times in recent years to get back into baseball. I can't do it. Just can't do it.
The time commitment is just so fucking intense. When I was drinking more...
Yeah.
And when Chris lived there, when we would just spend weekends eating fucking buffalo wings and sitting around doing nothing, there was plenty of time for baseball.
Yeah.
And having the baseball package and just like, let's just sit here and fucking, like, this channel is showing 8 baseball games at once. Let's just fucking sit here and watch all this. And then horse racing will be on later. Like, that was a prime time to watch a lot of baseball. And now it's just like, fuck, man, I can't even.
You just can't live that life anymore.
I can't keep up with any of this. It's just the commitment to baseball, to actually care about it for reals, is just too much. And I canceled all my DirecTV shit, so I just fucking have no way to actually
to get in there to
watch any of that shit the same way that I used to. And that was a lot of money, and I spent years paying for the baseball package and maybe watching like 2 games.
Yeah,
I was just like, this is stupid.
Yeah, I'm at the point now where, like, when the World Series comes around, I will probably watch a chunk of that. That's about it.
I feel like the World Series is always happening in the middle of something.
Well, it's like, what, October?
I guess, yeah. Oh, you know what it is? I feel like there's always been, like, a Call of Duty review event that seems to fucking coincide with fucking, like, playoff baseball.
Yeah.
In a way that's just like, well, I'm out of town for 3 days, and so I'm actually seeing some baseball because someone has it on in a bar at this thing.
In the background, yeah.
But I don't have time to care about it because I'm trying to review fucking 9 games at once. And also I'm in some fucking weird town doing it.
What the hell are these people talking about?
Who knows?
I barely been paying attention.
It's the beautiful thing about satellite radio is these air breaks can just fucking go.
Yep.
They're under no obligation to do anything. They're like, look, if you just want to hear music with no people talking, there are like fucking a bunch of other stations for that. Here, Lord Sear is just going to fucking mumble for a while.
I think I would rather hear Montel Jordan.
Yeah. Did you see they're bringing back that fucking Call of Duty event this year?
Which one?
Call of Duty XP.
No,
Call of
I did
Duty
not.
Experience.
But that said, what better time than now?
They're holding their multiplayer reveal until then, I guess. Which now makes me wonder what the fuck's going to be at E3.
Well, did they even have a booth on the floor this year? I thought they were pulling out.
Yeah, no, they have a
booth. They do? Okay.
They have a booth. I mean, I hope I have an appointment to see games, so they're somewhere. Maybe it's a meeting room, I don't know, but... I am going to talk to someone about Call of Duty next week.
Whether they want you to or not.
And
I'm just going to run up there and be
Skylanders.
Like, have a conversation with me!
Talk to me about Skylanders!
I am curious to see, like, what their current tone is around that franchise.
I imagine it would be one of fucking, like...
We made it.
Chest-pumping dominance, even though the sales figures don't back that up. No, it's been, like, their thing this year is, like, making your own Skylander, which I was sick when they came to town to demo it ahead of the announcement, so I didn't actually go see it.
But, like, make your own Skylander as in the game, or, like, as in, like, we're selling customizable
figures? That's the thing I actually don't know. If it's a token, because, like, when they did the thing where you could capture the bosses, they sold traps for the trap team one.
Yeah.
And the traps were just little fucking gems that just looked generic. And they were just like, you're in this gem, and I'm gonna store you in this gem. And it was dumb, because you wanted figures. I wanted figures that looked like the bosses, because fuck that. So I don't know if it's a similar thing of you store them in some kind of generic token, or if they are actually letting you fucking snap things together. Because, you know, they did the, with the Swap Force, they actually let you tear them in half and put them back together however you wanted,
right.
And that would be reflected in-game. So, if they're expanding on that to the point where you can, I'm gonna snap a sword on you and then we're gonna go fucking kill fools... That sounds fucking rad.
That sounds rad, and also the thing you do right before that franchise burns out entirely.
Absolutely.
But at least get one more game in where you can do that, I guess,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah. This song just reminds me of Rob Conklin.
Yeah. Yes, I can see that.
I just think of Bobby C. when this song's on.
You seen him recently?
Not since Brendan's thing.
Okay. Yeah, the last time I saw him was at the reunion thing in, was that 2012?
Oh, yeah, yeah. Yeah, no, I don't know. He's married with kids. I should check and see if he still has a Donkey Kong machine in his garage and if he wants to get rid of it. I was trying to get that off him at one point.
What was he doing? He was driving trucks or something?
Yeah. I don't know. Last time I... he wasn't working for a while, and he was trying to be a cop.
Okay.
But, you know, I think, he went through the academy and did all that stuff, but then, all the people he was competing with for jobs were all ex-military. Everyone
right.
was coming out of the army and just saying, well, I can be a cop, and, they were... the cops viewed them as way more qualified, so they're like, okay, well, yeah, you're totally in. So even though, his dad was a sheriff or whatever for years and years, I think he was having trouble. He was almost in, and then he was almost in at Oakland, and then some real bad shit happened in Oakland, and then they, put a hiring freeze on or something, so he ended up not getting in or something, but I don't know. It sounds like becoming a cop is weird.
Yeah. No, yeah, I had a friend that I grew up with whose dad was a fire chief in San Francisco, and he tried to get in with the fire department in a variety of places and couldn't do that.
Hmm.
And then he also tried getting in with the police department in Oakland, and I think he ran into the same shit.
Yeah. So I don't know. He was, he was driving trucks and doing some kind of, he was, supervising some kind of landscaping operation at one point.
Mm.
I remember talking to him, and he was talking about watching trees get cut down or something.
Okay.
I have no idea.
Wondering how many tracksuits that dude still owns.
Yeah, I don't know.
That feels like one of those possessions he would hold on to.
And his tennis shoe cowboy boots.
God. Rob goddamn Conklin.
Bunch of temporary tattoos.
Mm-hmm.
Just ready. Just all at the ready.
Always.
No, I don't know. I get texts from him randomly.
Mm.
Once every 6 months or so. Oh, this fucking tunnel, I swear.
Yep.
At least I've got this cold beverage.
My beverage has been decimated.
Oh, well. Oftentimes I will save a drink and open it in the tunnel, because on mornings when I actually eat a real breakfast, I will have had some orange juice or something there, and then if I open the drink too soon, I then have to use the bathroom.
Ah, yes.
So, I will hold off on opening the drink until we get to the tunnel.
It's a smart strategy.
Yeah.
Any thoughts on tonight's NXT show?
Oh, is that tonight?
Yep.
That's my thought.
Okay. Yeah, what is it? It's Joe versus Balor, Asuka versus Nia Jax.
I've not seen Nia Jax in action.
She's gotten a lot better. She started out kind of stiff, but she's gotten good at being the very big person in the women's division.
Is that so she's playing a Tamina Snuka role, or?
She has more of a Bull Nakano presence in terms of body style and also just kind of the way she throws her weight around.
Okay, all right. Because I don't much care for Tamina.
No, I don't either. But that said, she's still new, but she's getting a lot better, and her and Asuka seem to have good chemistry together.
Mm.
It's American Alpha versus the Revival again. American Alpha is...
American Alpha is like the team angle, sort of yes. Like they're very American kind of thing. Well, I don't think I've seen them do
anything.
They're
both former collegiate wrestlers, but they don't really do the all-American thing. It's okay. More they're just like, they're really good at wrestling, and they're really good with each other.
Okay. But I don't know what the Revival is.
The Revival is Scott Dawson and Dash Wilder. And their whole thing is...
Great names.
Yes, they are like old-school tag team brawler types. Mm. And they're just like, they're just dicks. That's kind of their whole thing.
Oh.
They just go around and beat people up for no good reason.
That just sounds like the vaudevillains without the mustaches.
Hey.
Without the deliberately old-timey thing.
Yeah. Think like old NWA style, like, you know, just brawler team, as opposed to like old-timey boxers.
Okay. So like a...
No flips, just fists.
Yeah. All right. So I'm like a fucking... Like they're doing brain busters out there and shit like that. Like that type of stuff.
A lot
like,
of hard lariats.
Yeah, okay.
Stiff drop kicks, that kind of shit.
Yeah.
All right. And then it's Nakamura versus Aries. And
that could be that. I'm sure that'll be a fun match.
I think it'll be good.
Aries is not interesting to me.
So. I agree, but I think it'll be fun regardless. And then Manny Adrande is debuting.
Has he not been on? Because I've seen like reports of like
he's been on a ton of house shows.
Okay.
Like he was at the LOL show that I went to.
Yeah.
But he has not debuted on TV yet.
Okay. Yeah, I've not watched any NXT since the Nakamura debut. And I thought about tuning in to just watch him wrestle more. But
I mean, it's been a lot of short matches for the most part.
Yeah.
But he's still fun. And again, he's starting to cut in promos in English, which is good.
Yeah, that's, cool. There was a conference call. So that before these things, they always do a conference call with Triple H and, yeah. the straight-up dirt sheets, which I always thought was fascinating that they started doing those.
Yeah, been on a couple of those conference calls before.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. Huh. They usually do them around the games, and they have, dirt sheet guys get on, but, yeah. Also they have the games press on.
Well, yeah, so they just, Triple H has been doing these conference calls before the takeovers, and it's always been fascinating to just see these relatively frank answers out of him about we view it as this and you know this like kind of talking about you know like the first question was just straight up like is the brand extension going to decimate NXT and he's like it'll create a lot of opportunities for people that are currently in NXT but I've got 70 or 80 people that are all dying to fucking get into NXT so this brand is about replenishing,
yes.
Kind of reiterating the whole developmental thing, which I think is probably smart.
Yeah, there was some stuff on The Observer this week where he was talking about some indie guys that they're looking at targeting. There's a couple of, Ring of Honor dudes whose contracts are coming up that they're looking at getting in there. There's some European guys they're looking at. Mm-hmm. They're looking to fill those coffers again at some point.
Yeah.
And they should. Also, there are some dudes that are on that, house show circuit right now that are real good.
Cool.
So... Yeah. You know, they need time to develop, but, they can do that.
But they're ready for, proper NXT.
Yes. Yeah. They've been doing enough, full-on indie wrestling and, Ring of Honor and international stuff that, all they kind of need to do is massage the characters into something TV-ready.
Mm. But, yeah, I don't know. This is, for an organization that has just been so fucking opaque in so many of its fucking movements.
Yeah.
Reading the transcripts of that stuff or reading the recaps of these conference calls where he'll just say, we'd love to bring in Bobby Roode and Eric Young. We're working on contract stuff. You know, we're not there yet.
Yeah.
Good. Yeah. There's no reason to not just come out and say that.
Yeah.
You know, there's no competition that's going to go out there and try to fucking steal these two guys away if they hear that you don't have them under contract.
Yeah, and even if, where would they go? They would go, Japan or something. Which, right. In that case, we just find someone else to fill that spot.
Totally, yeah.
Bobby Roode is not so big that, losing him to, New Japan or Ring of Honor or something like that would fucking kill them.
Yeah, I would like to see... I like Bobby Roode.
Yeah, he's fine.
I think his name is maybe a little dumb.
It's no dumber than your average, wrestling name. I think, of the TNA people they could bring in, he is probably the one that feels the most, WWE ready.
Yeah. I would put him in, a Shane Douglas-style franchise thing.
Yes. There is a very Shane Douglas-like quality to that guy.
America.
I think, you know, if at some, I don't know if he'd ever do it, because he might just be so embittered from his last experience there, but if they brought EC3 in, I think that dude is phenomenal and way better than TNA deserves.
I saw, like, one or two things with him a while ago, and I was not super impressed, but yeah.
He's one of the few dudes who actually feels like he embodies his character in a really good way in that show. And isn't just trying to...
Is his character that he's, like, Dixie's nephew?
Yes. He is the entitled... Like, if imagine if Shane McMahon could actually, like, wrestle full-time.
Okay.
That's his thing, is he is the entitled dick nephew that is convinced that, you know, everything should be handed to him. And they've done a good job of developing that character over time into something a little more than that. But again, also it's TNA, so no one was watching when any of it happened.
Right.
But there are a lot of people like him who were in the early NXT system that kind of got jerked around a lot that just probably will never come back. Like, I know Kenny Omega is one of those people that, like, was there in the early days of, like, Florida Championship Wrestling.
Right, yeah.
And was signed with them a couple of different times, I think, and just was so pissed about the way they kind of wasted his time that I don't know if he's ever going to want to go back.
That time heals all wounds, right?
Eventually, you would think. You know, it's... Vince McMahon follows CM Punk on Twitter now, so, hey.
Real, like, now? Like, recently?
I think recently. I don't know. I just saw someone point that out recently. He follows, like, 20 people, and in one of them, CM Punk.
Sure. And by he, you mean whoever runs that account, right?
You know, with the way that tweets appear on that account...
Yeah,
I totally
yeah.
believe it's him.
Yeah, I could, yeah.
Or at the very least, he's dictating that stuff to a person.
Go to that thing and type in, we make movies and hit send. You heard me.
Tredic says he's been following him all the time. All right, that's fine.
Okay.
The fact that he still follows him still is funny, though. I don't know. Do you think CM Punk ever actually has a UFC fight?
They're talking August.
They've been talking a lot of things for a long time.
I have no idea. That's...
Like, at best, I think he does a few fights. They're kind of like, you know, one-off things, and he's never really in a title contention, but, you know, they're attraction fights.
But, like, you know, like, it's an attraction fight. Like, is the second CM Punk fight interesting at all?
It depends on how the first one goes. Like, if he shows that he can you know, like hold his own, then yeah, maybe.
Yeah, if he can hold his own, and then, I feel like if he's not contending for something, then, you know, then he's good for one fight.
Yeah.
You know? And then after that, you're like, well, I saw this wrestler fight for real. That's cool. But unless he's going to be fucking super badass awesome in the fucking octagon and getting it done, then it's like, that. How long does that actually last?
Yeah.
Because it's not like he gets a ton of fucking mic time to fucking craft storylines and do cool shit. Like, the shit that you actually kind of want to see CM Punk do.
Yeah.
So, you know, whatever. Like, who cares?
Yeah.
At some point, he just is another dude on that roster. I wonder if other UFC fighters were fucking pissed off that he was in that video game.
I mean, I would...
Or if it's just like, well, we get it, like, whatever, he's built a name up, like, you know, that is interesting.
Yeah, I've always kind of wondered, like, what the competition level is for that, and, like, how that kind of lobbying gets done.
Yeah.
Like, there are obvious picks for every one of those games, like, that you have to have in there, but, like...
Right.
Punk wasn't necessarily one of them, at least not yet. And I'm sure there are tons
of fighters.
But it's
one of those things where they don't make one of those games every year.
Yeah.
And so...
That might change at some point.
I don't think this second game they made is particularly great on its own, but I think if you annualize it, you kill it immediately.
Yeah.
Because that roster doesn't change enough year to year to matter. Like, in that way.
I'm not saying they should.
Yeah.
I'm saying at some point that might become a thing they decide they have to do.
Yeah, maybe. But I mean, it was one of the things where it's like, well, look, if we're only making these games every 2 years, the odds that CM Punk will have fought sometime in the months following the release of this game, we better put him in now.
Yeah.
Because by the time we put out the next one, he'll probably be done. I wonder if there's any fucking, like... Yeah, well, like, if you think about the idea of that guy being pissed off about part-timers in the WWE, the notion that Brock Lesnar comes back and gets to be a huge attraction for one fight. It's like, fucking asshole. Like, you fucking do it to me here, too. Fuck you.
Yeah, though, I feel like the attraction fight stuff in UFC is a little less galling just because fights happen so infrequently for fighters in that arena. So the idea of a dude showing up for like one pay-per-view and then disappearing again for a while is not really the end of the world.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a good point.
I mean, again, it is, yes, you're right, it is a fight spot that someone who is regularly training might be upset that they don't get, but it's something like UFC 200, which is going to be a lot of attraction fights, I assume, anyway.
Yeah.
I can't be surprising.
I don't even know who the big UFC fighters are these days. Like, it seems like it was that John Jones dude for a while, and then he fucking...
He's still around.
Is he in jail?
No, I don't think so.
I think he got arrested recently.
He did get arrested at some point, I think, but I don't think he's in jail now. He's still around. Bisping just won a title.
All right.
Kind of unexpectedly, but, you know, he had, like, sort of a comeback story or something, I think. Yeah, it's, I don't know, it's a mix of people that I'm not intimately familiar with these days.
Yeah.
Jones is fighting at UFC 200, says Jeffrey. Die.
There's that Conor McGregor dude, which I feel like I only heard about because Danny O'Dwyer likes him.
Yeah.
Or knows him or something.
He's the very loud presence in UFC right now. Like, he's the very cocky dude, and he's also kind of all over the place. Like, at one point he was joking around on Twitter about retiring.
Right, I saw that.
Yeah.
It's kind of just...
But yeah, I don't actually know what that dude's current status is. I guess Nate Diaz is still around.
I don't know who that is.
The Diaz, I think there's a couple of Diaz brothers. They're like, they've been around for a while. They're just like, I remember them being kind of shit-talky dudes, but that's, I couldn't tell you a great deal about them as people. They are... I remember them being fairly intense and crazy. Okay, so Conor was supposed to be on 200, but he pulled out of the press conference to quote-unquote retire, and now he's fighting at UFC 202.
Yeah, I saw there was a big thing from him talking about, like, he just was worn out by doing all the promotion or something. I don't know.
Which is kind of the thing he's good at, so I don't know.
My question is, where's Tank Abbott fit into all this?
I don't know, probably fucking being racist somewhere.
Yeah. Yeah. These are good raps. This guy's got a lot of good raps.
Young Dolph
is getting it done. All right. Just turn that thing off.
All right.
Go to work. Get to wiggling.
See y'all later.